What is up, rebels? You're listening to Rise Rebelliously. Britta here, your host, mentor, and rebel entrepreneur. I exist on this planet to guide ambitious entrepreneurs into their confident, radiant, rebellious, unapologetic next selves. We don't play around here. Tough love, mindset, action. We do shit our way, not theirs. Come along this journey as we grow, scale, and dare to prevail. Here we rise rebelliously. Let's fucking do this.
Welcome back, Rebels. Thanks for joining me for another one today. I have a guest speaker with us. India Jade is a business coach and attraction queen who helps female entrepreneurs embrace their inner bad bitch, magnetize their marketing, and make bank their way by blending the woo and the work. As a personal development junkie with over 7 years experience in corporate sales and marketing, she's an expert in blending the feminine and masculine energies to help your business thrive in a way that feels good for you. Welcome, India. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So where are you coming from? Because your accent definitely is going to be the first thing people notice.
It always is. I live in Jersey, but old Jersey. So it's in the Channel Islands, which is this teeny tiny island just off France.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to start this off with some fire questions. What are you grateful for today?
Today, I am grateful for my relationship right now. My boy is moving in with me this week. So everything's a little crazy and a little hectic, but it's really exciting. So that's what I'm grateful for right now.
Oh, that's a fun step. So what are you currently reading?
I am reading a book called Jog On by Bella Mackey. I'm a really keen runner and it's all about how running helped her mental health. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And what was your first job?
My first job was I worked at my uncle's party shop. So it was like selling fancy dress costumes and balloons and all that sort of stuff, which was kind of cool and fun, but also has left me with like a lifelong fear of balloons. Like I'm traumatized.
Okay, well, that's terrifying. And I know what not to send you. You know, I don't really see a lot of people with balloons. I feel like balloons are kind of a young thing. So
yeah,
at least we have that going, right? As we get older.
I'm grateful for that. That's what I'm grateful for today.
And every day. What's on your nightstand?
Nothing is on my nightstand. Well, an Union lamp, because my cat likes to wake me up by knocking everything off my nightstand. I've had a lot of smashed glasses, so I have learned not to leave anything on there.
What was your favorite vacation? If you can't think of one, do you have any vacations coming up?
I don't have any coming up. I wish I did. I think we're going to try and get to France sometime in the next couple of months. But my favorite, I have two. I went to New York when I was 10 and it was like winter time and it was snowy and it was super magical. But I really want to go back as an adult now, like, and have a completely different experience. But that was really magical. And I also went on safari to Kenya when I was a kid with the family. And that was just incredible. I'm a massive animal lover. So that was just amazing.
That's really cool. I'm very jealous of that one. As far as New York, I'm not very jealous because I grew up there.
Yeah, it's a bit different for a Brit.
Yeah, it's. But I will say I recommend going in the summer and actually experiencing New York outside of what people think of like the Christmas time and actually going there and like having like brunch and just walking around the city and enjoying like nice weather. Because that experience, I think, is way better. It's also it's always crowded, but it's less crowded.
Yeah. Like full Sex and the City vibes.
Yes, exactly. Especially if you go like during like the middle of a work day, like don't get me wrong, there'll still be plenty of people outside, but it's a cooler experience because you get to kind of like see the city in a different way, you know?
That's cool.
So how did you get to where you are today? What started you on this journey?
So I've been working in corporate sales and marketing for about 8 years. And I've also, this is two things, it's kind of the marketing side of it I was already doing in corporate. And I've always been an entrepreneur, wanted to be an entrepreneur. I've had like a lot of side hustles over the years. I always knew I was going to work for myself. And then on the other side, I've also had a lot of mental health problems for my life. I had severe depression, eating disorders, anxiety. I went through some really, really tough times. I was suicidal kind of from 19 to 25. I was in a really dark place. So when I came out of that, I got really obsessed with personal development. So I was in therapy for a long time. And then I got really obsessed with personal development, which is what helped me get over that. So it's kind of a combination of those two factors. So I first got into life coaching because of kind of my personal journey. And I did enjoy it. But I think the business coaching and that side of it made more sense because of my corporate history. And I found that I was really targeting female entrepreneurs. Like, that's the kind of person I wanted to work with because that's who I was. So making the pivot into business coaching, but with still a lot of emphasis on your mindset and on your self-care, just felt like kind of the sweet spot for me.
Awesome. What have you been able to take from your corporate job and marketing skills and skill set and brought it over? What was the most beneficial?
All the strategy, you know, it's all applicable. It all moves across to all businesses. So I'm so grateful that I've been able to do that and build that career. I've worked in both agencies and in-house roles. So I had so much experience of like a range of sectors. So that kind of the strategy, the core knowledge and skills has been amazing. So that was really helpful having that and then kind of being able to combine it with my like personal experiences and kind of what I knew about the coaching atmosphere and coaching industry has just been really helpful. But I'm definitely grateful for the corporate experience because I think it's made me how good I am at what I do now.
Awesome. And what have you thrown out the window from your corporate skills? Like, what was the parts that you were just like, no, fuck that shit. I'm out of there.
I mean, for me, it's the freedom, the flexibility, just the general kind of getting up. I know everything's gone a little crazy the last couple of years, with everything we've been going through, but having that flexibility and the flexibility in how we work, how we structure our days, what we do, but also kind of with your marketing and in corporate, although, you know, I had some high level roles, so I was kind of in charge of a lot of stuff. There's always kind of expectations of how people want their company than when I was doing it for big companies. So there's certain restrictions on how creative or how experimental I could be with what I do. So I love just having a completely blank canvas with my business and getting to break the rules, which is something I'm so passionate about, and have fucking fun with it. You know, like it doesn't have to be, I think that's the difference from corporate, right? Like it gets to be more fun. And I think you lose a lot of that in the corporate world.
Yeah. And I think it's really hard for a lot of people to have fun in their work, like redefining, you know, their jobs and hard work and understanding that you can still have fun. So it sounds like you've been able to see both sides, which is really cool. And you bring that level of corporate experience and knowing that having fun still is going to make you successful. You know, what would you tell somebody who maybe wants to have more fun in their business or even in their job? Like what could they do to attract more fun into their life?
I mean, I think step one of that simply has to be making it a priority, like just deciding that that's something that you get to prioritize and that you want to prioritize. I think so often it just gets put on the back burner because we tell ourselves that we have to focus on everything and we have to be serious and be professional. I'm generally not a fan of anything you think you have to do or should do. So I think just that mindset flip that you get to have fun. And actually, like one of my favorite affirmations, and I share it a lot, is that having fun is a money-making activity. Like self-care is a money-making activity. Because when you focus on those things, on having fun, on looking after yourself, and prioritize more joy in your life, that feeds into your business. You are going to perform better. You're going to be more inspired. You're going to be more creative. You're going to have better ideas. You're going to perform better. So rather than thinking that, you know, there's no time or space for fun because we've got to be serious about our business, it's changing your mindset to believe that actually having more fun, having more joy is a good thing for your business.
So do you think it directly relates to marketing, like having fun and actually attracting clients?
Definitely. And especially I think in, you know, in the industry, it's all like personal brands. People want to see that side of you. People are forming a relationship with you as much as your business. So they want someone they're going to get on with. You know, if you work with a coach, it's a really intimate relationship. So you want someone who feels like a friend. You want to have someone that you can have fun with.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody that's like terrified to show themselves because they think it's going to deter clients?
First of all, I get it. I think we've all been there at one point. It's a natural fear. But honestly, the things that you worry about most deterring your clients are the exact things that are going to call your dream clients into you. The people who don't get it, the people who don't like it, aren't your fucking ideal clients. So screw them. No offense. But you know, they're not the ones for you to worry about because that's literally the reason why they're not your ideal client if they don't get you. And it's the real you you want people to connect with, not this idea of you that you think you need to be in your business. So those things that scare you, they're the things that people want and need to see to really connect with you. And if you're really scared, just start with baby steps. Start putting little bits more and more out there and it'll get easier to go home.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say to somebody that's like afraid to actually lose their audience because they think that that audience is only attracted to one thing or attracted mm-hmm. to their fake version?
Right. So firstly, let's not get caught up on the numbers. Like, yes, we want to build an audience, but we're not getting obsessed over vanity metrics. So it's much more important that you've got a quality audience that really gives a shit and really engages with you than having a large audience that doesn't give a crap and isn't ever going to buy what you're doing. So it's completely natural that if you start pivoting and being more of your real self, yeah, you're probably going to lose followers. But that's okay, because the ones you're losing, as I just said, are not the right people for you. So it's completely normal. They'll drop off. But what you're actually doing is creating an audience that's much more engaged, much more interested in what you're doing. So although those numbers might drop at first, the audience that stays and that then grows are going to be so much more warm to you and your business and everything you're doing. So it's going to be so much better quality.
Yeah, for sure. So it's almost like you got to celebrate the unfollows as much as the follows and celebrate the
yeah.
as much, right?
Absolutely. Wave them on their merry way, because people that don't get it and aren't engaging, they're not doing any good for you. Like, people can get concerned about their follower count, mm-hmm. but your engagement rate's such a more important metric. So if they're people that are following you but don't connect to what you're doing, they're going to be damaging your metrics more because they're not going to be engaging. So actually, it's better that they stop following you and then fuck it. You've got people that are more highly engaged and that's better for you. The algorithm's going to love you more because you've got more engaging content and it's actually going to be a win for you in the long run.
Hell yeah. So what would you say to somebody that's actually trying to market themselves and market their business, and they're trying to follow all of these trends and follow all of these rules on how to do it, and they just feel stuck, and so they don't do anything?
Yeah, and it's such a real problem, I think, especially in the early days of your business, because you kind of go into consuming mode, right? And we're learning all these new things and we're trying to implement them, and then half the time things contradict each other anyway. We learn so much stuff and it doesn't even like complement each other. So the first thing to do is just like fuck the rules, right? Like, drop any idea that you have to do anything one way. Like, I always say, if a coach tells you that you have to do something a certain way, run a fucking mile, because it's never the case. There is always different ways to do every single part of your business. But it's about finding the way that one works for you, that works for your audience and feels good for you, right? So you want to find that sweet spot of something that is effective, works well for you, and just feels good, that feels aligned with what you're doing, that you don't hate doing, because no one wants to do that. So a lot of it's going to be trial and error as well when you first start out. So don't be afraid to try different stuff out. Don't overwhelm yourself trying to do 100 things at once. So forget if like the 100 things that you think you're supposed to be doing, pick one way. Try it out, see how it goes. It's trial and error. Tweak it, adjust it. If you don't like it, if it doesn't work, toss it in the bin and try the next one.
Awesome. So do you have any examples of when this worked for you, when you were able to attract more people by being yourself and not overwhelming yourself with a million things and a million rules? And
oh, for sure. I mean, my whole life coaching business at the start, so as I said earlier, I started as a life coach and then I pivoted into business coaching. And I realized that I only went into life coaching because I had this weird limiting belief that I couldn't be a business coach until I'd been some sort of a coach first, right? Like, I couldn't start off as just a business coach because I hadn't been a coach, even though I'd had all like the business and sales and marketing history and experience. But there was this stupid little voice in my head that we often get saying that I had to be a coach first. So I was a life coach. And honestly, if you look back and share it sometimes on my platform now, and it like always gets crazy responses because it's fucking hilarious and no one even recognizes me. And I was this like, it was like pastel blue and pastel pink and really pretty and flowy. And I swear I even just talked like this because I was a life coach and you had to be really like peace and love. And it, honestly, I don't know who the fuck that girl was, but it wasn't fucking me. But it was awful. And I look back and it was so what I thought I had to be. And then, to be fair, even before I pivoted into the business coaching, I kind of started making this shift where I was like, I don't know who the fuck this is. Like, this is not me. And like, the business was fine, but it wasn't thriving. And I just thought, there's got to be a better way of doing this. So I started swearing more and just being more real, being more myself. And sure enough, it picked up. And then I made the pivot into business coaching because I was like, fuck this. This is like, that's what I do. I'm a marketing professional and I really want to help female entrepreneurs. And I'm very passionate about female empowerment and helping women, you know, build their businesses and make a fuck ton of money. And as soon as I made that transition and I fully owned who I was when I did that, and then I was more passionate about what I was doing, and it just exploded from there. Like there was such a huge shift, and my audience, and I definitely lost followers. Like we were talking about before, my God, like I completely lost a lot of followers, but the ones that I've gained are so much more aligned to me, are the people I actually fucking want to work with. So yeah, I've definitely been there and done that.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I've had the same experience where in the beginning, I don't even know who the fuck that was. And my clients directly related to that. I was not aligning with them. I felt like I had to like put on this facade all times and I hated it. And I was like, I'm my own boss, but I'm not enjoying this. And now the people that I'm working with are more attracted to in all fields, like my coaching clients, my web design clients, my photography clients, my just business mentorship in general. All of these clients enjoy and actually are more attracted to what I'm doing now, even though it's not them, you know? And so that's what's so interesting. I have an example of this girl who's like all pink and love and peace and everything, right? She's fucking amazing. I love her very much. But she found me through my other business. And that business, it's a passive income shop. So it's not really about me. It's more about what I provide. So, you know, you don't really get a feel for who I am. And she wanted to work with me privately. And she was like on the fence. And then I sent her like my real website, my actual Instagram. Like she started following me. She started getting into my world and she signed on immediately. And like, this is the kind of person you would look at and you would be like, she's never going to work with me because we're so different. But that was completely not the case. And so it's so often just a fucking fear in our heads. It's all in our heads. And it's completely in our heads. And I feel like this directly relates to what you're saying and is a prime example.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting as well, because there's two different sides to it, isn't there? There's people that relate to us and want to work with us because they're similar to us and they see themselves in what we do and in us. And then there are people that aren't going to be the same. There are characteristics that either they maybe aspire to or just know they need more of it. It's that contrast that actually is what they need from you. So that's what draws them to you. So I think, yeah, we get so in our heads and we tell ourselves these stories rather than just fucking being ourselves and letting the people that want to work with us come work with us, you know, right? It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Yeah, that's a really good point you're bringing up, the complication. I think that in this industry, and not just in business, but also just like in careers, like if you're trying to get a promotion or if you're trying to grow your business, if you're trying to do any of these things that mean success to you, it's so easy to overcomplicate it and get stuck, right?
It really is. And I think especially as women, I hate to say it, but we are the worst. We get in our own heads. We overthink everything. You know, we really do overcomplicate. And sometimes it is just that taking a step back and being like, is this actually truth or is it just some bullshit story I'm telling myself?
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that it's harder for women to market? Or do you think that it's harder for them to put themselves out there?
Not necessarily. I think, and obviously it depends what you do and what niche you're in and all those things. I think, especially like you and I, like we're in quite a women-centric niche, right? There are a lot of male coaches as well, but we work with women. So we're in that circle with women and people want to work with women. Mm-hmm. But I think that women have more, and I'm obviously completely generalizing here and I'm not, you know, not saying that men don't have issues and that we're all women do or whatever, but I think that we tend to have more bullshit to work through that we tell ourselves to put ourselves out there, right? And I think a lot of that is the age-old archaic shit through society that we've been taught. A lot of that is more detrimental to women than men. So we have these barriers that have just been ingrained in us that we have to work a little bit harder to get through sometimes.
Yeah. So what would you say is like one of the first steps to overcoming this?
Good question. I think a lot of it always comes down to just making sure you're always doing the work on yourself, right? Not just on your business, prioritizing yourself, your self-care, your confidence, and not being in denial about it, being open to these blocks, to these limiting beliefs, knowing that the work's never fucking done. I think that's a big one. Like, you work through something, you think it's done, and then fucking 2 months later, hello, there it is again. New level, new devil, right? These things come back in all different ways to haunt us. So kind of, I think the more you can accept that the work is never done, it's a continuous, I hate to use the word journey because it's so fucking raw and cliche, but also it is what it is. So, you know,
I mean, it's a journey.
It's a journey. So I think kind of just knowing that it is a continuous thing, that you need to keep working on yourself and making sure it's a priority, just like the having fun, like self-care, all those things, you can't ignore that and grow a successful business. And you certainly can't sustain it anyway. You know, you can probably get to a certain point, but it's going to crash the fuck down if you're not doing that inner work and looking after yourself properly. So just make sure you're prioritizing that. And the more you prioritize it from the get-go is better, because you're not going to let yourself get to the point where you're burning out and then trying to kind of backpedal.
Oh yeah. So this brings up a really good point, especially if somebody was like a new entrepreneur. Let's say somebody's a brand new entrepreneur and they're listening to this and they're just like, I just want to know how to attract clients. I don't really care about working on myself. I'll work on myself later when I'm making a bunch of money, because you know, this thought right there.
Yeah.
Probably everybody thinks, what would you say to them?
Yeah. First of all, I get it. Most of us have thought it and a lot of us have been there, but like, take it from someone who's been there and done it. It's not worth it. Even if you get some growth at first, like, you might start to grow your business, but it is just not sustainable to go all in, all masculine, all strategy all the time, right? You're gonna crash and burn at some point. And the damage you will then do when you hit that point is gonna be worse than to actually let yourself take a little time, do the mindset work, do the shit, do the inner work, do the stuff that you need to do now. It's going to be more sustainable and actually have a better growth in the long run, because you're not going to suddenly hit a point where you're crashing and burning and then, you know, either stagnating or actually end up taking 10 steps back because you haven't looked after yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you said this before, but when you look after yourself, you are better at your job, and that
absolutely
makes you better with your clients. And that actually is part of the attraction marketing, right? That is what's
definitely
going to attract people.
For sure. And it's not, I think sometimes people can get a bit, it's not about like pretending everything's great and that you can't have bad days, you can't share shit. Like, I talk a lot about when I'm going through hard times and I still have down days and stuff. It's about just doing the fucking work and like allowing yourself to put yourself first, allowing yourself to be a fucking human, right? Like, you don't have to, I think when you're, especially when you're new, you just feel like you need to show up perfectly all the fucking time. Like, it's something else I just don't believe in, but like, showing up perfectly. And I am a recovering perfectionist. That's been a big one for me. But I think once you can let go of that, you'll make it so much fucking easier for yourself, because you have this vision that you need to like show up and always be on and always do the fucking thing and do 101 things at once. The thing is that people don't actually relate to perfect. Like, people think that that's what they need to do to assert yourself as an authority, but actually, the authority that people really connect to are the ones that are just real fucking people that are honest and open and raw and out there doing the damn thing their own way.
I love it. If you were to leave everybody with one last tip for attraction magnetic marketing, what would it be?
Oh, big question. One tip. I think playing off of what we talked about earlier, it's just don't be afraid to be your fucking self. Like, put yourself out there and remember that the people that are your people are always going to connect to you when you're being your most raw, real self. You don't have to give a shit about the people that will judge you. Just go out there and do it. And when in doubt, I think something that can be really helpful is to ask yourself what you needed to hear. Like, you two steps back, right? Our ideal client is so often just us two steps back. And we can get so in our heads, like we talked about before, about whether we're doing the right things and what to say and what to do. So sometimes just take a step back and be like, what did I need to hear? What would have helped me? What did I not have when I was in my ideal client's position? Because you've got the experience, right? You know what you need to do. You know what you need to hear. And coming from that really raw space of your own experience and just sharing it authentically as yourself and being honest about your own story, that's what's really going to connect with your ideal clients.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you. So tell everybody, where can they find you? What do you have coming up next? And yeah, how can they connect?
You can find me over on Instagram. That's where I normally hang out. I'm at India Jade Coaching. And I have just launching at the moment a new mini mind. It's brand new. It's called the Rule Breaker Mini Mind. I'm taking a really small, intimate group of women. And over 8 weeks, we are helping you break the fucking rules, shed the shoulds, and learn how to build your business your way. So it's all about finding what's right for you, finding the strategies that work for you, and yeah, building your business in a way that feels good and is successful too, obviously. So it's going to be amazing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Till the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Rebels, thanks for listening to another kick-ass episode. If you've related to this at all, be sure to share it with others so we can rise together.